Well, hello, River Slough family, and how wonderful it really is to be able to talk to you today. Thank you for inviting me to come and speak. And I'm just sorry that we aren't in person. It's been a really long and difficult year, and I hope that you have kept well and managed to stay connected to one another. And I've been hearing really great things from Julie and the rest of the leadership team about all the life that's been going on in Slough. So I'm just well done, guys, and I'm just so glad and so grateful to God for you. And thank you too for bearing with me, not being with you for such a long time. Last year was a long and difficult year, and I just really appreciated your love and your support and your prayers. But this morning it's fabulous to be with you, even if it is on video. Hopefully over the next few months we'll begin to plot a route to gathering again in person, and that will be so good. Today, however, we are in our Signs of New Life series, and we're going to be looking at a story in John chapter 6, verses 21 to 25, where we read the fifth great sign or significant event in John's account of Jesus' life, where Jesus walks on the water to his disciples. Now, we find this story in Matthew's account and Mark's account, as well as John's. And in each of the three stories, it occurs immediately after Jesus has fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. Jesus has just demonstrated that he can do amazing things, incredible miracles. He can supernaturally provide for people out of seemingly nothing. That he cares really deeply about providing for people. But in this story, the disciples on the lake on the storm just seem to have completely forgotten that. They really haven't taken those truths on board. Pardon the pun. Now, Mark is going to read the story to us, and then we'll dig into it.
That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell, and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake towards Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I'm here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination.
So, as I read up and studied for this talk, I was full of what I wanted to say to you, lots of lovely, clever things, but as I prayed, Holy Spirit, this is your story. What is it you want to say to your people? This is what I felt him say. Please don't be afraid. I have beaten fear. And in that moment, it was almost as if I could feel God's heart full of longing, aching for you and me to be totally free from the burden of fear. The truth is that his love is so much stronger than fear. Perfect love drives out fear, and he lavishes that love on us and into us unconditionally. So why is fear still often such a very real part of our lives, affecting the way we think and therefore the way we live? Well, with the help of this story today, I want to have a look at that. And what I want to look at is the problem of fear. Secondly, its root. And thirdly, the solution. So let's get ready for some freedom today. The problem of fear, first of all. Here's a definition. Fear is a negative emotion caused by a real or perceived threat to our well-being. And we know, don't we, that fear spirals off into other things like anxiety, which means being uneasy are nervous about an event, a person, or a problem that we can't control. And also spirals into worry, which means to mentally dwell on difficulty or trouble. Like the disciples in the boat, I row along in my own life, doing my best, going where I think I need to, and also where I feel Jesus wants me to go. And just like the disciples, I'm doing okay. I'm controlling things, but then it goes a bit dark. The wind gets up. I don't get where I expected to or where I wanted to. And my stress, anxiety, fear levels start to rise. In those moments, when I honestly look way down deep into my heart, I know that I don't really trust God. If I did, I wouldn't be fearful or worried. And that really, really bothers me, because trust in God is such a fundamental part of our faith. And also, I hate living with that feeling, that loss of joy and peace, feeling bound up and restricted by fear. But you know, recently Holy Spirit's brought me some new revelation, fresh revelation about this, and it's really hit home and made a big difference to me. And so this morning, in the context of this story, I wanted to share it with you, and hopefully it will encourage you and bring revelation for some freedom for you too. So let's go back to the root of our fear and our worry. In fact, let's go right back to the very beginning, to the story in Genesis of Adam and Eve, the first people who were living under the love and care of God. Now, you'll remember that they were living with God, under his care and provision, and yet they made a decision to determine their own lives. They eat from the tree of knowledge, take their lives into their own hands, and they stop trusting God and become independent of him. They exercised what was actually their God-given free will, but in doing so, they stepped away from God as their father, and they lived alone. As a result, they became orphans, and we are all born in that same pattern as orphans too. Deep in our spirits, we live alone as orphans. Now let's just think through what it means to be an orphan. Orphans are completely on their own. They've no parent to rely on or care for them. They have to fight for themselves to get all the key things that as human beings we crave for. Things like protection, provision, significance. They have to think of themselves first, put themselves first. That leads to selfishness, self-centeredness. But that's just in order to survive. And they have to control their lives and their surroundings to feel safe. When that control is shaken, fear begins to rise. So I believe that the root of our fear is our choice to live independently of God. And I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to be an orphan. And the solution? The solution is that we don't have to. Jesus taught us that when we know the truth, that truth will set us free. So we need to know, really know in our hearts, not just in our heads, the truth about who we are and who our Father God is. And the truth about who we are is that we are no longer orphans. You are no longer an orphan. In John 14, Jesus himself says, "I will not leave you as orphans." His death reconciled you to God, and you are born again into a new family. God is your father. You are his son or his daughter. We are filled with his spirit. We are not orphans, and we don't have to live as such. And the second truth, who our father is, our Father God is a good, kind, loving God. And we can live under his protection, his provision, and his love every day of our lives. Do you remember the story of the father running towards his prodigal son with his arms open, welcoming him back into his family and household, back under his provision, his protection, his care again? That's who we are. We no longer need to fear and fight for our own survival. We have a heavenly Father who loves us and protects us, and with whom there is always enough. His heart is to bless us, and he will never leave us. His perfect love drives out all our fear. And we're taught in the New Testament, pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. Living with this conviction of God's kindness towards us, it is so key, guys. This is the trusting part of knowing God, the believing bit that we've seen John is so keen in his account for us to get hold of. Now, I love the other things that John shows us about God in this story of the disciples in their boat. We see that our God is a miracle-working God. Jesus does the absolute impossible as he walks on the water. Our storms in life are never a problem to God, even when they seem impossible to us and too big for us to sort out. We also see that our God is attentive to us. Mark adds a lovely detail in his account when he tells us that Jesus is praying alone on the hillside, but on the lake he can see his disciples. He's watching over them on the lake. They felt alone, but they weren't hidden from Jesus. They really were not alone. He was watching the whole time. He saw them, he cared for them, and he went to them. Even if it took a bit of time for him to get down the mountain and across the lake, he still went to them. We are never alone, no matter how dark it gets. We see that God is our rescuer. I read this lovely quote in a commentary about this story. Christ comes near to all of us across this sea of sorrow and trouble. A more tender sense of his nearness to us is often felt in the times of our darkness and our grief than is possible in the sunny hours of joy. When it's night and it's dark, Christ comes to us, striding across the stormy waters. And we see that our God brings peace into our lives. The wind stops when Jesus gets into the boat. The waves die down. And the disciples get to their destination a lot more quickly than they were doing on their own. But you know, just like the disciples had to choose to invite Jesus into the boat with them, we need to choose to invite him into our lives daily. Especially when we're facing storms and when the wind starts to get up and our fear, anxiety and worry starts to bubble. In those moments, will we behave as orphans or will we choose to live in the truth and the revelation that we are children, not orphans, children of a good and kind Father God? Will we trust him? So my conclusion, this is a really good news story. We are no longer orphans. We're totally loved by our Heavenly Father, and we can completely depend on God's heart to bless us, to care for us, to rescue us and to provide us. But guys, the truth is that we need to partner with that daily, and we have to remind ourselves of it regularly. Especially when the wind starts to get up. I believe that the enemy of our souls wants you and wants me to feel like orphans, because when we feel fear, we react. We hide, we protect ourselves, and we run. And none of that is how God invites us to live. Instead of hiding from God, we look on the face of Christ. Instead of protecting ourselves, we love everyone we meet. And instead of running away, we live like heaven is near. This morning, today, Father God invites you to throw off your orphan way of living and to be free from fear, anxiety, and worry. He says, "Please don't be afraid. I have beaten fear." As I finish, what I'd really like to do is pray for all of us, each one of us, to walk again in the glorious truth that we're no longer orphans. So I'd just like to invite you to pray with me. Maybe you'd like to just put your hands out, your palms up like that, just as a sign that you're yielding to God, surrendering to Him again, wanting to receive revelation from Him, His Holy Spirit again. So let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the glorious, glorious truth that we are no longer orphans, that you have beaten fear, set us free, welcomed us back as your children, living under your care and protection and provision. God, I pray that truth right now would sink into our hearts, go deeply into our spirits, that it would renew our thinking. Holy Spirit, that you would set us alight with the truth and the new life that we are not orphans any longer. Forgive us for all the times where we choose to behave like orphans, to live like orphans, in self-preservation mode. Holy Spirit, every day, please prompt us, guide us, show us how to live as children under our good Father's care. Help us to throw off our orphan way of living. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we can utterly depend on you to be a good and kind and glorious Father who is always with us and for us. In Jesus' name, amen.